Building Together. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts specifically to help support the vision, to promote the mission of Harvest going into 2022. Title of the message, In and Purpose for Going Into This New Year. So this morning's title of the message is Building Together Through Evangelism. And we're just going to get right into the scripture as it's found in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and it says this. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. Can we just give an amen for God's word this morning? So, from the writer of Acts, we immediately notice some things that were important to Jesus, and let me give them to you. That he, what was important to him was the kingdom of God. For 40 days, that as he made himself visual and let people know that he was alive, he was talking the kingdom of God. We know that the Holy Spirit, the gift, what was promised, the power of his baptism was important to him. And we know about the command to wait for the Holy Spirit, and also the command that you will be my witnesses. So today's message, again, or what our mission is, together, through evangelism. I don't know if you've ever heard the mission or what our mission is of the church, and so I'm going to put it up on the screen for you, and it is this right here. To be empowered by the Holy Spirit to make and build disciples to reach our world for Jesus. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this, And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. I have commanded you. Jesus is our message. People is our heart. It is people are our heart. It's who we strive to reach and want to see them come to Jesus. The more we put Jesus in front of people, the more opportunities there will be for them to catch it. And what I mean by that, when I say catch it or to catch something, it's to be gripped. It's to be convinced. It's to be convicted. It's to be challenged. It's important that everyone has a chance to consider their eternity. Can I get an amen about that? So guys, think about when somebody has a cold. I'm coming out of a chest thing that's been going on with me for a couple weeks. And here's the thing about a cold. The person who has the cold, the more that he goes around and shakes and gives hugs and all that, it gives more opportunities for people to catch his cold. Is everybody with me on this? Every day that we step, by the way, that means for the rest of the day we're just fist bumping, or how about let's just wave? You know, how's that sound? We're gonna keep this safe. Every day that we step into the calling, the command to making disciples, to preaching the gospel, the more opportunities that we give people to be in the presence of God and to be impacted by his Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We are carriers of Jesus. We are carriers of his Holy Spirit. Jesus is calling us to birth him into our circles, into our... Whoever wants to... 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross, and what does it say? And follow me. We're going to talk about this. You see, the greatest of leaders, those who lead well, they have all submitted themselves to being under great leadership. They have all, everybody say all. They have all followed somebody. Everybody wants a leadership position, but very few want to be a follower. And Jesus says to all of us, take up your cross and follow me. Twice in John 21, Jesus is having this conversation with Peter, and he's saying, follow me. Peter goes into, well, what about, you know, because, and he's, you know, he's foreseeing death in the future, and Jesus said, don't worry about him or don't worry about her. He's saying, I want you to follow me. This is about you following me. God is looking for people who would say, I'm here, I'm committed, I've denied myself, I'm invested, I just want to follow Jesus. So if the mission of Harvest is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to make and build disciples and take Jesus into our world, then it's important for us to understand who are the builders, who is building together, and what does it take to be a builder. So let me put these questions up on the screen for you. So who is called? We are. Amen. Everybody pat yourself on the chest. We are all called. We are, and where are we called? Well, in the scriptures, what we've already read is that to evangelize everyone, everywhere. Why are we called? Because God's choice is you. We are to reach people. God chose people to reach people. And when are we evangelize? All the time. Come on, say it with your mouth. All the time. It needs to be happening. So how are we to share this message? Harvest, how do we answer the call that Christ has given to each and every one of us? Well, my first thought is we start by being a builder of the church. Be a builder of the church. The mission that we exist to make and build disciples to reach our world. This is what Jesus has commanded us to do. It's not a request. Church, please hear what I say about this because it's in Scripture. It's not my opinion. This is not the opinion of Matt. This is not a request. It is a command from Jesus himself that we are to do this. We have been called to build his church, to build his kingdom, one person at a time. Guys, in fact, what we know in Scripture is that Jesus is the chief builder. And I'm going to give you scriptures that support it, but Jesus is the chief builder. He is the one who laid the foundation. He doesn't just have the plan. Jesus is the plan. He came. He showed us God. He revealed God's plan of salvation. He died on the cross for all of our sins. He arose on the third day. He spent weeks revealing himself to his followers. He gave instructions. He gave his final orders. He gave us his Holy Spirit. And one day very soon, Jesus will return for each and every one of us. Matthew 16, 18, here's the support scriptures. And I tell you, he's having this conversation with Peter. You are Peter, and on this rock I will, what does it say? I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. John 2, 19, and Jesus answered, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again. Think about the momentum that we are feeling in Harvest right now. Think about the growth that we're experiencing. Think about the worship and the breakthroughs that are happening, experiencing and feeling in our inside this house. All these amazing things that we have been experiencing and feeling in our lives is 100% because of God. Because of his Holy Spirit and because of his Son, Jesus Christ. There is this move. Jesus is looking for people who are committed to evangelism. Jesus is looking for a church that is committed to evangelism. I love in Nehemiah 3. We're not going to be in that. I know we recently had come out of a big series dealing with Nehemiah. But in Nehemiah chapter 3, it really lays out and it shows how all people were involved in building that wall. You had men and women. You had sons and daughters, perfume makers, the goldsmiths, priests, temple servants, city guards, and the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. You know, everybody in that place was willing. They were committed builders. Being committed to plan. Being committed to the follow. to take up your cross and follow him, that you would be committed to the follow. You guys, look at this. When you surrender to the builder, it releases your potential to build. Come on, church. To take up your cross and to follow him. And I am believing for men and women who have vision for here, for this church, for right now, right what's going on right here, right now, that you would have vision for it. Men and women who have a vision for the future of this body. And when you think about evangelism and the command to making disciples, this is not about constantly fixing yourself. That's not what the call to make disciples or to build the church is. It's not about you constantly having to fix yourself. It's actually about getting over yourself. It's actually, this is enough me time. I need to get my act straight so that I can get out there and tell people about Jesus. Amen. That's what's important. All have sinned. Nobody is perfect. Romans 3:23 makes that so clear, that for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. If you're waiting until everything is perfect for you before you go out and share faith, then you're never going to step into your calling. Romans 10:15 says, and I love this scripture because it's such an encouragement. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So let's talk about evangelism. What is evangelism? How does this help with the calling to build? You see, evangelism is the term we use to refer to preaching or to the preaching of the gospel. In the Greek, the word for gospel is euangelion. And euangelion literally means, and this is not a real word, but it really means this, gospeling. It means that you're bringing, that to declare, to share, to proclaim the good news. When we evangelize, we are building. We are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, look at this, you guys. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. The crazy thing about being a builder for God is that you will never run out of work. It never ends. I have a really close friend that I had lost touch with him. He lives in Oklahoma, and I got in touch with him. Of course, you know, we're still phone call, and I was talking about it. I was like, man, what are you doing right now? And he says, well, you know, of course, you know, we're still doing oil rigs and things like that. He says, but he goes, I literally go in and I remodel and build in the prison systems in this tri-state area. And he literally said these words to me. He says, Matt, we never run out of work. And that saddened my heart, because here is something that God has given us, and it's such a beautiful gift of salvation. And he has commanded us to go out, and it's not a request. He is telling us to get out there and tell people about Jesus. Why? Because it will never end. The work is never done. The job will never be through until he returns for us one day. Amen? That we need to be out there doing all of this. The message of salvation through Christ is the responsibility of all. Everybody say all. Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Be a builder. Be a builder of the kingdom of God. Be a builder of lives, which leads me to my second thought on how we answer the call that Jesus has given us. Serving others will make a difference. Serving others makes a difference. Let's look at calling one more time. Remember, this is what came out of Scripture. You will be my witnesses. And it says, go and make disciples. You see, in following Jesus and claiming to be a believer, We must do what he did and what he's asking us to do. We must be willing to serve. God's word tells us in 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to what? To serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Serving others, what is that? Serving others builds the kingdom. Serving others increases our faith. Serving others allows us to experience miracles out of it in this way. I'll give you just a little bit of a teaching here that I hope that maybe you haven't thought of or you've never thought of it in this way, but it deals with serving. In John chapter 2, we know that what takes place in that story is that Jesus is at a wedding. They run out of wine. And this is the story of the miracle where he turns the water into wine. Is everybody with me? If you've never read that story, go home this week and actually do a devotional on John chapter 2. But here's the thought that maybe some of us sometimes we just really don't think about with the serving of others is this. It was the servants that got to experience the miracle of the water being turned to wine. Guys, the guests didn't even know what had happened. They just all of a sudden were drinking wine that they had never drank before, and it was the best. But it was those who were serving were the ones that experienced the true miracle of what Jesus was doing there that day. Just the beginning of it all. And they got to experience because they were in a place of serving. You see, serving others prepares us to lead. It's saying yes to the follow. What is the follow? To take up my cross and follow who? Jesus. Serving others does not come with fame or accolades. We have men and women and college students and students throughout this church that over the years have served in many ways and have not received near the recognition and accolades that they should have. I've got men and women that just for the past like 4 weeks have been trying to help keep our church dry as we're going through these changes with the building. But no one will ever know it, but they're doing it because they're serving the body of Christ. You know, I've shared this story before, but I want to share it from a different perspective. Back in the 90s, our church, there was about 30 of us that went over to San Francisco. Our church was in San Francisco. It went across the bay to San Francisco to a district called the Tenderloin. It is, it's a rough area. A lot of homeless, a lot of gang activity, drug abuse, prostitution. And we went over there to basically serve. And we got there, and of course, we have a soup kitchen set up. We're cutting hair. We're cutting toenails. We're handing out socks. We're handing out clothes. We're giving hugs. We have sacked dinners that we're walking around blocks and blocks of just trying to find people who had not made it there. We provided them worship. And guys, here's the thing that I wanted. First of all, it transformed my life, and I have never been the same ever since. There's something humbling about serving somebody that when you get up and you give them a hug after you've cut their toenails and you hug them and they go, you are the first person that has hugged me in over a year. It changes you. And it's a place to be able to serve. But guys, look at this. It didn't make the news. There was no media coverage. No one, not one person that we shared love to started attending our church. But listen to this. We saw hundreds come to Christ. We connected them to the local churches. We answered the call of serving others, and we were blessed during the build. You see, there is blessing in the follow. There is blessing in the building. There is blessing when we build together. Ephesians 2:10 says, God has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Hebrews 6:10 says it this way, for God, the faithful one, is not unfair. How can he forget the beautiful work you have done for him? He remembers the love you demonstrate as you continually serve his beloved ones for the glory of his name. Which leads me to my third and final thought. Guys, keep growing no matter what. You see, grow. Keep growing no matter what. You see, growth is noticeable. It can be. You know, I have some nieces and nephews and cousins and things that I don't see maybe once or twice a year. And when I walk into their presence, you know, the first thing I'll notice is usually growth. Like, you know, they've grown, you know, taller, or, you know, sometimes it's they've gotten skinnier, sometimes they've gotten a little bit more built for comfort than for speed. But you notice it. And so, you know, you have these, you know, you can notice. You notice when growth is, oh man, you've grown. Oh, you're getting so tall. But guys, here's the thing. Sometimes the people who do life with you every day, although you're growing, they don't notice it. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from? They're not noticing it. And it might be hard for them to understand that growth is actually taking place. When I've shared this before, I'm going to share it because I think it fits perfectly. In ninth grade, when I left, I was 5'6". That summer, in 3 months, I grew 6 inches. And so here's the thing. My mom saw me every day. Every day we did life together. She was my mom. And then it's time to go to school. She knows I'm growing, but she doesn't know to the extent. I don't even know to the extent. And she goes, Matthew, go put on your jeans. I just want to see how they look. And when I put them on, they were that far above my ankles. I'm not even playing around. And she goes, oh my gosh. And it was just right then she noticed the growth that had taken place in my life. You know, that I had grown 6 inches. You see, being a builder, serving and loving others, it all creates growth. And then at some point, I promise you, just as it was when I put on those jeans and my mom recognized the growth in my life, I promise you, those that are in your circles and that are in your world are going to notice that something is different about you, that you have become a builder and a server of others. I want to see Harvest experience the growth. Make sure that we from evangelizing our world. But I want to make sure that we understand that there is a difference in testifying and evangelizing. So let's talk about this for a second. There is a difference between witnessing and evangelizing. To witness is to give one's testimony, to bear witness to what Christ has done and is still doing in your life. But to evangelize is to give the content found in the gospel to someone who is lost. We cannot evangelize without sharing the gospel. People cannot enter the kingdom of heaven without repentance and faith in Jesus. There is only one way to God, and it is through Jesus. The Holy Spirit has a way of exposing those of us who are not growing and are not helping grow the kingdom in his church. And how? How does he expose it? No prayer life. You're not in his word. You're not serving. You never fast or pray. You do not tithe, or there is no desire to worship. So let me bring this thought to you in regarding the importance of always looking to grow in Christ. And it comes from the story in Matthew 11, and it deals with John the Baptist. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of background. John the Baptist is in prison. And this is what we know about John the Baptist, was that he prepared the way for Jesus. Just want to remind you, he baptized thousands. He did everything right. It's going to come up on the screen for you. I want you to have this in your heart as I tell you the story. John the Baptist is in prison, and he has done everything right. He's been there for over a year, and he knows that he will die in prison unless Jesus does something. But guys, here's his disciples. He has a few that have remained with him. Jesus, on the other hand, has disciples. He's going out through all the land. There's healings. There's miracles. People are, you know, the demons are being cast out, blind. People can see, deaf ears can hear. All this is going. Everybody is, yay, Jesus. Team Jesus. And he's in prison, suffering, being persecuted. And what happens is doubt creeps into his heart. Because we know in Matthew 11, he calls for two of his disciples or a couple of his disciples and goes, hey, I want you to go to Jesus and ask him, is he the Messiah? Is he really the Messiah, or should we be looking for somebody else? Guys, that's doubt. And it came from a time of persecution and suffering. Let's be honest. What screams from his story is that sometimes, guys, catch this, having crazy faith and doing everything God asks us to do can lead to your persecution. You have done everything right, but yet you're going to go through time of suffering, trials, and persecution. Sometimes your building, your serving, your growing will lead to persecution. In John's case, it eventually led to his execution. Will we have men and women around the world that will give their lives for Jesus this year? Absolutely. Will you have to give your life for the cause of Jesus? Probably not. But I can promise you that there will be times of persecution and there will be times of suffering, and you have done everything right. In this point of always striving to grow, if we do not discuss the real possibility of persecution while pursuing Jesus, remember, we're trying to do everything right. We're trying to strive to grow every day. If we do not address the reality of persecution, we will raise up a future generation of believers that will think God has abandoned them at the first sign of suffering. Unbelieving world hates you. John 15, 18, 19. Just remember, when the unbelieving world hates you, they first hated me. If you were to give your allegiance to the world, they would love and welcome you as one of their own. Guys, J.K. Rowling, she wrote all the Harry Potter series. Her own is eating her alive because she has come out publicly and said that a male is a male and a female is a female. Her own world is eating her alive because they don't stand with them. But because you won't align yourself with the values of this world, they will hate you. I have chosen you and taken you out of the world to be mine. We can become irritated. We can easily get offended. John has done everything right. He has found himself in prison and now is being filled with doubt. Guys, what do you think Jesus, how did he respond? How did Jesus respond to these guys coming and asking him these questions that John... Guys, it was kind of brutal, actually. Guys, listen to how Jesus responds to him. Blessed is the man... And first of all, he tells him, oh, people are getting healed. This is going on. But he says it this way. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on the count of me. Don't get thrusted into doubt just because Jesus doesn't meet our personal expectations. Charles Stanley says it this way, adversity is not simply a tool, it is God's most effective tool for the advancement of our spiritual lives. Everybody say grow. The circumstances and events that we see as setbacks are oftentimes the very things that launch us into periods of intense spiritual growth. Everybody say grow. Once we begin to understand this and accept it as a spiritual fact of life, adversity becomes easier to bear. Grow. Do whatever it takes to grow. Keep growing. Reading of God's word. Grow a prayer life. Grow in the reading of God's word. Grow in your worship. Grow even during your suffering and persecution. Grow in your testimony. And I am believing that you will step into God's mission for your life. Grow in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love a good testimony. I am not devaluing a testimony. It's important. But there is something that we cannot overlook and we cannot put into the back pocket and just think that it's going to happen on its own. We have to tell people about Jesus. Guys, did you know that there are many pastors, there's many believers that believe that if you go your entire life and you never share with one person about Jesus, that it's a sin. We're just outright just saying no to what Jesus has asked us to do. You know how easy it is to do this? It's as simple as getting into a conversation and saying, do you have a good church that you go to? Oh, you don't. Man, you need to come and check out Harvest. It's a good time of worship, fellowship, and you're going to get a good word. That right there will point people to Jesus. Some people will say, well, why would I want to? And if they go into something else, then it's going to actually probably have to come from your mouth and your heart that you're going to have to point them to the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Put them into the red letters. Let them read the words of Jesus for themselves. Tell them your testimony, but tell them that they have to repent, that Jesus is the only way, and that he loved him so much that he sent him to die on a cross for you. He rose on the third day, and one day he will come back for each and every one of us who claim him as Savior. Amen? Don't say, oh man, I've got somebody who's ready to accept Christ. I'm going to call so-and-so. No. You do it. Amen? That's good. Yeah. Amen. Come on, guys. I know this is. Grow by being a builder. Grow by serving all people. Grow by surrendering to the follow. Don't stop growing. I'm going to close this up and have the worship team come up. Our mission, I just want to say it again to you. Next week, we're going to be looking at the vision of the church. Our mission, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to make and build disciples, to reach our world for Jesus. And then I am praying that as we as a church, as we step into this time of fasting, listen, my wife, you know, we got to church this morning and she goes, okay, Matt, I'm going to tell you, you know, what my 21-day of fast is. And I said, okay, you know, lay it on me. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm doing the Daniel fast. And that's good. It's something that I love to do. It's good for me, and it's something I'm going to do. But my wife goes, I'm gonna take away screen time. Guys, you know what I'm thinking when I hear screen time? I'm thinking phone. Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, Lori, that's you know, I'm thinking, okay, that'll be good. You know, but then I realize what she's saying. I go, wait, you mean you're not going to watch even television? Like, there's no shows, like no Netflix, none of that. And she goes, no, I'm not doing it. I said, ooh. Listen to how my heart was. I'm like, that's going to be hard. But guys, here's the thing is, that's what the Holy Spirit put into her heart that she's supposed to do. And I'm asking that the Lord will do the same thing for you, that you won't look past this 21 days, that you'll actually do something that puts your heart and your heart and your mind and your soul in the presence of God for 21 days to see what he speaks to you regarding the mission and the vision of this church, because guys, we're going to grow the kingdom of God. Amen. Can I just say this? I was at this church in Dallas. Amazing church. I won't say its name, but amazing church. There were multiple services. Christmas Eve service and everything, and there were thousands of people there, and they were doing multiple services in the campuses and everything. And guys, I'm sitting there, and it took me about, I don't know, 10-15 minutes that I looked out there, and guys, do not hear me wrong when I say this, because I'm white. I know I'm white, but that church was just white. Guys, I'm not trying to be political. I'm not trying to do... It just shocked me a little, because what I love about what's going on here is that we've got some nationality going on, that we have some culture going on. And when I think of building the kingdom of God, I'm thinking about a church that represents all nations. That if it's going to represent all nations, then all of us need the responsibility of inviting our world into this building so that they can find Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen for that? So guys, I'm praying for three things to happen during your fast. God, reveal your plan for building lives to you. I pray that he reveals his plan, that he will give you the blueprint. Scripture tells us that building lives is something that we must take seriously. 1 Corinthians 3:14, this is one of my favorite versions of this scripture. Like each carpenter who comes on the job, take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there's only one foundation, one already laid, Jesus Christ, the chief builder. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get away with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building would be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. We must take this. We must. Everybody say must. We must take this seriously. The second thing that I'm praying that God will do during your fast is that God will reveal where growth is needed in your walk. Growth in the Greek is a epoikadomeo. Epoikadomeo speaks to be built up, to build upon. It's actually a construction term. It paints the picture of building a house, constructing lives in the calling, that believers are challenged to continue growing in their faith. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." Look at this same scripture, verse 7 in the Message. "You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it, and let your living spill over." Come on, give me an amen, guys. That's a great scripture. And the third thing that I'm asking that God will do for you during this time of fasting is that he will reveal your path to serve. I love this church. It's a serving church, but I still believe that there's some of us that could join the team. To find our place, what does your surrender to the follow? What does your surrender to the follow look like? You have been called to partner with God in a great building project. Building together through evangelism. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I just thank you.